seated. You know, I think with a sermon like this, if we stick closely to what the Apostle Paul says, we can only be encouraged. So we're on a winner. Would you pray with me, please, and ask that the Lord would do his thing and David Fortune wouldn't do his thing. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we want to thank you for Jesus. We want to thank you that he is the one who should be preeminent in all things. So we ask this evening, Lord, that he would be magnified and certainly this fellow would be minimized. Lord, we ask that your word would come forth, you would speak through it, and you would encourage us for the week ahead that we might serve you, that we might love you, and it might be found that our hearts are sold out to you. We ask this in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 Well, it was a Saturday morning, and the telephone goes. I answer it, and there's this very polished voice on the end of the line. A gentleman that had perfect intonation, and I knew a sales pitch was about to follow. But to be honest, it was so smooth and it was so top drawer, I just had to listen to it. The pitch was perfect. And he said to me that he had something that he felt that I should listen to and that he had a life policy that I should hear about. And could I spare him 5 minutes? I said, well, look, this is the deal. If I've got a better life policy than you, would you spare me 10 minutes? He agreed. In fairness to the man, after I shared my policy, which was for eternity, compared with his, which was to something like 65 years old, and when I told him who was paying for the policy, the Lord Jesus Christ, he then drove 60 miles the next day to attend a church service I was in. So this is the thing that struck me about the man, and it was his sincerity. He was a man who was looking ahead and not just looking at the day he was living. A lot of people live for their pensions. A lot of people live for their retirement. And this man was looking ahead. But when I told him, listen, my friend, what you're looking at is a drop in the bucket compared with what is to come, you're really short-sighted. He said, I agree with you. And when we look at this text and focus on what the Apostle Paul is saying to us, if we're just looking at today, and if we're just looking at our short lifespan now, and what we can get out of it for ourselves, we are the most miserable of all people. So the great apostle is going to stick it to us, and he's going to tell us how to get through life without losing heart. Now, he says it in verse 16. He says it again later on. So it's a big thing. And there isn't a person in this room or next door who hasn't at some point lost heart. We all get discouraged. We all go through difficulties. We all go through challenges. Now, one of the proof texts that I think is a great proof text for a sermon such as this is verse 7 of chapter 5. We live by faith, not by sight. But the problem is this, especially if you work in establishments like I do, a number of people will just rip this right out of the page and take it out of context. We have a little saying, and the saying we've got in jail is this: a text out of context is a con. And so it is. You will be conned every single time if you take it out of context. The devil does this when he was tempting the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4. You see, he gives Jesus a bit of the text, but if you actually see the context of it, the very thing that he's quoting to Jesus, he's applying it to mean the very opposite to what that Psalm 91 is talking about. So it's really important that we get the context of this. If we get the context, it will put us in good stead as we press forward into the matters of life. First of all, let's look at the temporary nature in which Paul is talking to his or writing to his readers. In chapter 4, he describes us as jars of clay. Just go back to verse 11. Christians are forever being given over to death, and Christ's life is seen through it. Death, life. Jars of clay, treasures within. That's us. Why is it that the most number of missionaries come back from the mission field? Why is it pastors throw in the towel? Why is it elders step down? Why is it leaders have enough? Why is it church members say, I can't be doing with this? Very often, it's not so much the mission that is set before us, but the battles that we even have within our own communities. And the Apostle Paul, as he is speaking about the battles, he's speaking about his own ministry and how he is being battered for his ministry. And he's speaking about this living in this jars of clay as deceit is trying to come in and get at him. Now, my friends, if you are going to press on in the things of God, you will have to know death and you will have to know life. Death to self, death in, as in repentance, and indeed life in Christ. You may well have physical problems. Look at verse 9 of chapter 4. Persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Literally, physically attacked for his faith. Or it may be that your physical problems are of illness, ongoing suffering. The Apostle Paul knew this as well when he spoke about the thorn in the flesh. Church problems, as I said earlier, read Paul's battles with the Corinthian church from start to finish. Perhaps some of you are going through financial woes and difficulties. To switch the analogy as Paul does, it is light shining out of darkness in verse 6. Let me read to you verses 10 and 12 from that chapter 4. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Whoa! For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. So how do you cope with that? A good confession. Look at verse 13. I believed, therefore I have spoken. Now he is confessing his belief. And his belief is what he is living for and what will come when he pops his clogs, when he dies. In the prison, what we often find is that the health, wealth, and prosperity guys try to get these texts and pervert them in such a way that people will be proclaiming, people will be confessing things that are the very opposite to this. Because of what is to come after this life, my confession is in what is to come. Guys, you will reach your peak performance in life. You will reach your peak physically, and the bad news is, it's all downhill from there. Just look at me. It's the truth. We know it. There is some good news, and that's coming later. So don't leave yet, please. But the grace exhibited in the life of Paul, even in this death, was for their salvation. Now, I don't mean that there is any other Savior than the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one who died on that cross. There is only one sin bearer. But as you seek to reach out, as you seek to minister, as Paul was trying to minister, not saying we're apostles, but we're going to minister to our neighbors, we're going to minister to our family members, you will know death. You know pain, you know suffering, you know difficulty. And it's in the fashioning of that that life will come from you. Why? Because what is seen is what Christ is doing. There's a young couple, we went to Cridley. They talk all funny up there. And as we arrived, I was really set on turning things around. And God did in his providence, but not in any way I thought he'd do it. Going to the doctor every other week with Josh. And then our second son came, Caleb. And they were stacking them in the hospital side by side. I mean, we were living the victorious life, right? Not at all. We thought, what must our doctor think? Really nice guy, Dr. Neil. We wanted to see him come to Christ. And all he was seeing was these miserable parents who were bringing their kids to him week after week. But do you know what? Out of the pain, out of the death, out of the suffering came the life. Our GP did come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And when our kids were in hospitals side by side in the air, and we used to go armed with tracts in our pockets, wrote some of my best sermons. Is it this or this? Well, what's making the noise? Tie clip, let's forget that one, shall we? Yeah, this is not fun. Okay, let's get rid of that one. So, yeah, and this is, I'm sure, what the Apostle Paul is speaking to us about, the death and the life. All right, moving on, where does he take us now? So, pain, suffering, life. The hassles of this world. Let's go down to verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, chapter 4, though outwardly we're wasting away, that's the discouragement, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. I wonder how many people here remember a dear, dear lady who used to live just down the road. And I don't know how old she was when she went to be with the Lord, but she was praying that she wanted a visit from the pastor. I turn up, she said, Pastor, I've been praying that you'd visit. I felt like a spiritual giant. And then she said, because I've got these letters, I needed someone to post them. And you know, her every need was being answered by her prayers. She couldn't even get out of the house. So though outwardly we might be wasting away, though outwardly we're not what we used to be, inwardly, praise be to God, we're getting better and better if we're in Jesus Christ and know him as Lord and Savior. Amen. And then verse 17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Can you see the comparison here? He's not making light of the difficulty on the one hand, and yet on the other, he's saying compare that with what is to come, the glories to come, and honestly, that's nothing. I can tell you that, we've had a tough time for about 4 years or so. I mean, battles on every side, getting hammered this way and that. And I know lots of you have been going through battles like that, where you have been hammered one way or another, hugely. How do you hold on? Well, you hold on because though outwardly it's falling apart, inwardly you're stronger than you've ever been before. Because you're beginning to see the glories of God in ways that you've never seen, you've never understood, and that you've never perceived before. What does he say? End of that chapter. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. My friends, when you're going through it and you're thinking, whenever is this going to finish? The trial, the difficulty that you're going through. It's going to finish, and it won't be too long from now. It will finish, because you ain't going to live that long. But what is to come? And the way in which you deal with today sets you up for what is to come. And we got some lovely young people here. And you'll be thinking about, oh, come on, yes, right, for you old fogies talking about heaven and all that sort of stuff. But listen, guys, honestly, it passes. It passes fast. You remember when you were, no, sorry. Okay. All right. So Paul, still using, well, he's using a different analogy now, but he's still pressing the same point home when he takes you in to chapter 5. Look at chapter 5, he had those broken jars or jars of clay. Now he's moving to earthly tents. And he's reminding us, guys, this is all temporary. It's not going to last. Look, even Roger Federer is going downhill. I remember when I could run endlessly, literally, I could just run and run and run. I'd run across fields, jump rivers, run through trees, no, not literally through them, around them, but, you know, woods and all that. Man, I just used to love to run and run and run and run. Now, run to the end of the drive. Why? Our earthly tent will one day be destroyed. And he uses the word tent because it's a temporary thing. The Wesley brothers, John Wesley, preaching in the Americas. Red Indian comes up to him and he says, Mr. Wesley said, I don't think you believe in eternity. Why? He said, because you build houses like they're going to last forever. We live in tents because we know they don't last forever. And neither do we. Brothers and sisters, are we so living for today that we lose sight of what is to come? Paul speaks of groaning, verse 2, verse 4. How often do we groan because of the frustrations of this life? How often do we weep because of the frustrations of this life? How often do we feel the burden is almost too heavy to bear? Paul knew that. All the great saints knew that. Some of them even suffered depression. And then he compares that, the earthly tent, with our heavenly dwelling. So on the one hand, Paul speaks about the earthly dwelling, which would be here today and gone tomorrow. And then on the other, he talks about the building from God, the house from God. That which has permanence. That which is not built by human hands. A new kind of clothing. A new body that will come. The immortal body. The resurrection body. The super indestructible body. Man, that's going to be great. Yeah, some of the boys like to go out on their motorcycles, have a quick spin, and it's great fun. And when I'm with them, I really love it. But can you imagine, Roger, say, hey, how about meeting up on Jupiter tonight? Dwayne, where do you want to go? Saturn, see you afterwards. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be so cool. It really is. Superman is going to look like some inferior being compared with Christians. Fast cars, fast bikes, they're going to look stupid compared to what any person can do. So let's go then a little bit further on and see where this is taking us. Come with me down to verse 11, because after you see what is set before you, you then burn that others will be with you. So when I come down to verse 11 in chapter 5 and look at the heading in my Bible, it's the ministry of reconciliation. So this is a letter written to Christians to help them not to lose heart. Because when they're going through difficult times, they feel downcast, they feel discouraged. What is a Christian? Well, Paul is imploring them. He's begging them. He's saying, look, be reconciled to God. Get in that right relationship with God so that when Jesus Christ is moving in your life, you're living in a righteousness that is not yours, but his. That's steadfast. That's certain. Verse 19. Look at verse 19 of chapter 5. I have to get Zach to read this. It'll stop him from talking. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. One who lives in a rightness that comes from God, not their own. That's what he's talking about. How do I become a Christian? Verse 6 of chapter 4. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. All of this is about Christ. All of this is about his glory. It's about the new birth. It's about reconciliation. It's about faith in the Lord. Friends, as I'm living in that, I cannot lose heart. So what have we learned? Every single one of us will go through difficult times. But we're all going to perish. Those times will be short. Our inheritance in Christ is far better. And the motivation that we have, go back to chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him. Guys, what a motivation to live right now here before the Lord. Only faith in Christ will get us there, because he has divinely placed his hand upon us before the foundations of the earth. When we go through difficult times, we have the promise of God to take us through. And the promise of God is we walk by faith and not by sight. My friends, get taken up with the heavenly. Get taken up with what is to come. So that when you're facing the things on this earth, though they may be chronic, though they may be ongoing, though they may be long term, in the light of eternity, this is short. Look to him. Prove him in your pain. Prove him in your suffering. Prove him in your hardship. And out of the death that you come through, the life of Christ will be seen. And that in itself will be a means for you to implore others to the reconciliation that is in God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we walk by faith and not by sight. Think of that salesman who thought about the future, not just on this earth, but the future to come. And we pray, Father, that we would be nonetheless in our thinking, that though we are getting battered, we will know the life of Jesus coming out of death. Help us, therefore, Father, to stand firm, not to lose hope, not to lose heart, but to entrust ourselves to you, knowing day by day, as we do so, we are being renewed. We thank you, Father, for this. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Let's sing our final hymn.